The Health Minister Michelle Neal published her plan to reduce waiting lists yesterday. The Sinn Féin leader said she needs $31 million in the short term to start treating patients, some waiting more than a year. She said she's confident the money will be agreed by a new executive after the elections. But the BBC's health correspondent Mary-Louise Connolly put it to Michelle O'Neill that her announcement yesterday is a fantasy budget.
Whenever it comes to taking big decisions, whenever it comes to dealing with waiting lists, and whenever it comes to dealing with transformation in the health service, the public need to have confidence in the institutions and indeed in those people that are taking decisions which impact on their life. So I want to be continuing with this work. I will continue this work. I decided to publish this plan today because it's clearly where we need to be.
Do you and accept when I say that we need that $31 million to be triggered as soon as possible? And at the moment, that doesn't appear to be anytime soon.
I absolutely agree that money needs to be triggered as soon as possible to provide for this additional activity. That's why we need to deal with the public are now going to have their say about who will govern in the future.
Let's speak, first of all, to Pat Sheehan, see how across this Sinn Féin are, see what their plan really is. Have they got a dedicated plan that they can definitely deliver for people in Northern Ireland? I asked Pat Sheehan if the public should be heartened by this statement from Michelle O'Neill.
I think they should be heartened. This is the outworking of the Bengoa plan and Michelle's Delivering Together plan. The first phase of this will be the attempt to bring down the waiting list, but of course that can't be done in isolation. That has been attempted in the past and failed. So there are five other commitments that Michelle has given to deliver transformation of the health and social care system. And it's when all these commitments are rolled out together and we have the complete transformation of the health and social care system that we'll begin to see major improvement.
Which is completely up in the air now because your party's brought the government down.
No, well, we didn't bring the government down, of course.
Did you think about where you were leaving the population of Northern Ireland when you brought the government down in terms of health?
We didn't bring the government down, Stephen. There was corruption at the heart of government.
No proof of that whatsoever, and you could have worked that through.
Well, whether there was or wasn't corruption, there certainly was gross incompetence, and we couldn't allow that to continue. Martin McGuinness, as you know, bent over backwards, even in the throes of a serious health problem. He was trying his best to ensure that the institutions would continue.
What was Sinn Féin's contingency plan for the health of people in Northern Ireland when you walked out?
Well, of course, the Permanent Secretary can administer the budget, even if there isn't a budget in place. But we're confident that in the aftermath of the election, when the people have had their say, and bear in mind, Stephen, you know, in the midst of all this crisis, and I mean, your show has done excellent work in exposing what has been going on at the heart of government.
In the aftermath of an election, are you telling us that you're going to do a deal within weeks or a couple of months? Because that's not what senior people from within your party have told me recently. They've told me it could be years.
Well,
and you're going to, in order to get the money that the health service needs, there will need to be a government.
Well, the basic fact is this, Stephen. We couldn't have allowed the executive to carry on in the way it was going. We've seen a number of scandals. The most recent, of course, was the RHI.
So what was your contingency plan for health, Mr. Sheehan?
Just think, Stephen, the money that has gone up in smoke just this year could have gone a long way to help and clear the way.
All right, well, look, let's deal with some of the specifics because I know you're pushed for time this morning. So you're saying, look, we should be optimistic. This is Michelle O'Neill's plan. Is there an absolute guarantee? And this is just the £31 million, by the way, short-term money to treat patients who have been waiting a year. A year. How disgraceful is it that patients are waiting a year in the first place? But let's deal with the question. This £31 million that Michelle O'Neill talks about, is that guaranteed absolutely in the current political situation?
Yes, it is. Because even if there's no budget, the Permanent Secretary has the power to administer that £31 million.
No, but that would then be his decision, not yours. So how can you guarantee something you don't have the decision over?
Because, first of all, the Finance Minister has been in discussions with his Permanent Secretary. As you know, all the other parties bought into Bengoa and the Delivering Together from Michelle O'Neill. So I mean, there's an imperative there that if it is the case that the Permanent Secretary is responsible for the budget, that he will take account of the will of the outgoing Assembly and Executive. And in that case, I mean, there's flexibility. He has the flexibility to use that 31.
So there's £31 million of extra money.
Yeah.
Sitting there, waiting to be used. Yes, you say.
Well, what I'm saying is that the Permanent Secretary has the flexibility to find that 31.
But you can't go. Has he told you what he will? That he will definitely deliver this 31 million?
Well, I mean, I haven't been speaking to him, but the Finance Minister, Martin O'Millier, has, and he's absolutely confident that in the event of there not being a budget in place, that that 31.2 million will come into play from the budget that's there.
What this is doing, of course, is this is dealing with those people who, at the time of this report being written, were waiting a year or more. This does not deal whatsoever with the people who today and tomorrow and the next day are becoming more new numbers, waiting a year. Where's the money for that?
Well, and you see, Stephen, the issue of waitingness is just one commitment. The 31.2 million is to try and bring down waiting lists, so that no one should be waiting more than 52 weeks for.
No, the 31 million is bringing down, is aiming, by the way, and I noticed that word, aiming, not guaranteeing, no commitment to do it, it's aiming to do it. That's government speak for we might not.
Well,
that's Michelle O'Neill speak for we might and we might not, isn't it?
Well, Stephen, the target is there that it will be no more than 52 weeks for a first outpatient appointment or inpatient and day case treatment, and no more than 26 weeks for diagnostics appointment.
Will it be Michelle O'Neill's failure if the target isn't met?
Well, I think in terms of failures, we should start talking about the DUP.
No, I'm talking about the person who was the last health minister, who during an election campaign, isn't it strange that during an election campaign, she's issued this yesterday? So therefore, it's her target, isn't it?
Because she had already committed to bringing this forward, Stephen, as you know. She had said she would bring it forward at the end of January. There's been slippage of a week.
Okay.
But
so she committed to bringing it forward.
She gave a commitment.
So if the target is not met, is it her failure?
She's been there 6 or 7 months. The failures go back a long time. I mean, it's not just here in the north that there are problems with waiting lists. I mean, right across this island and across both of these islands, there are problems with waiting lists.
Okay.
What we have done and what Michelle has done is bring forward a plan for the complete transformation of the health and social
I noticed the other thing that
and
Michelle
Stephen,
has done.
This is an important point, because this is a point that Professor Bengoa made at the Health Committee not so long ago. He said other regions have tried to resolve problems. Some of them have thrown more money at it and it hasn't worked. Others have tried transformation without providing extra funding. But we are unique insofar as we are bringing forward a programme of transformation as well as committing to giving extra
funding. Yes, and you knew
that
the difficulties there were and you walked out of the government. Let's move on.
Do you want us to turn a blind eye to what was happening? I'm not letting you away with this comment that we just walked away. You know, and this narrative that some of the media are trying to promote, that Sinn Féin is as much responsible as the DUP for this crisis. The DUP are responsible for the crisis. Imagine if that $500 million were available to go into the health service, how much that would help.
Well, of course, the DUP would say that some of that money has now been reduced and it's not $500 million. But let's not get diverted.
We heard Arlene Foster saying she was going to bring forward a plan within 24 hours to recoup all the losses. And of course, that never appeared. And what did appear was back of an envelope.
I'm sure you wouldn't want to run out of time without answering some of these questions.
Sure.
Where's the money for next year?
So
what this $31 million's doing is it's sorting out people waiting a year.
Yes.
A year. So how much money do we need for next year just to keep the health service going?
Well, of course.
How much extra money?
You see, of course, this isn't going to be $31.2 million every year, because if that was the case, we would just be throwing money after money at the waiting list issue. That's been tried in the past. It has failed in the past. The reason it has failed is because it has been done in isolation.
No, just because...
What we need... No, Stephen, let me finish this
point.
Because people out there shouldn't be given the impression that just throwing money at the waiting list
sure.
is going to solve it.
Okay.
We need a complete transformation of our health and social
but,
care.
But usually to just keep the health service going, do you know what percentage you need just to keep the health service going?
Well, at the minute, it's about 48% of the block grant.
No. In terms of an increase each year, do you know how much you need just to keep the health service going in terms of an increase?
Stephen, you know, first of all, we have been told that if things keep going the way we're going, it's going to the whole health care budget.
Right.
It's going to take
sure, I'll answer it for you. You usually need about 6% more each year just to keep the health service going. Do you know what that is in real numbers?
No, Stephen. I mean, let's get back to the point. We're talking about transformation here. The whole idea of transformation is that, first of all, people get a first-class health system.
Pat, it's 300 million. Have you got 300 million for next year?
Stephen, you know, let's listen to what I'm going to say first and then interrupt me. What we need is complete transformation.
Okay, Pat Sheehan, thank you very much indeed. Thank you. The SDLP's Mark H. Durkin with us this morning. Morning to you, Mark.
Morning, Stephen. I'm feeling a bit under pressure after that caller.
Well, have you an idea how to reduce waiting lists?
Well, the reduction of waiting lists is a long-term project. However, there are short-term interventions that are necessary. Now, I was prepared yesterday to give the Minister the benefit of the doubt. I know some other parties came out and were actually critical of her making an announcement of this magnitude during what is essentially a purdah period. However, I thought it would have been a wee bit churlish to have lambasted her last week for not having met her deadline and publishing it, to then lambast her when she did. However, I do think when I looked at the plan yesterday, I was just a wee bit underwhelmed. And I have to say that's not the first time that I've been underwhelmed by the publication of a plan by this health minister. I was full of hope and confidence when Michelle O'Neill took on the health ministry. I think she's made all the right noises. And she has made some small steps in the right direction. However, I do think that she herself will leave this ministry, if she does leave this ministry, disappointed that she didn't make the changes that were absolutely necessary.
What do you mean?
Well, we've had a lot of plans, and of course plans are needed in order to affect...
But the plans need money. So where would you get...
Very little action. Yes, they do need money.
This is not just an issue for...
government for 10 years, and I completely accept...
Your party was in government for the majority of those 10 years.
Absolutely. We were on the outskirts of that government, Stephen, and that's what led to us leaving the government. I think we were once memorably described as having been ourselves and the other smaller parties in the executive as a mudguard for the larger parties, DUP and Sinn Féin. And what has happened is that once that mudguard's gone, it didn't take too long for the wheels to come off, did it?
I'm trying to understand from you today, if the health service needs 300 million next year to stand still, rather than you political points going against your opponents, to see what you can offer in terms of policy. So where do you think the 300 million comes from?
It's not about politics. And the 300 million that John quite rightly identified that would be needed for health service to stand still, it's actually going to need a lot more than that because of the transformation process that is required to get the health service into such a state that we do not see waiting lists of this scale in the future.
So does your party have a notion where that money should come from? How we create that money?
Well, we have to look at what is being spent within health. We have to look at what's been spent in other departments.
No, this is 300 million of additional...
And what money has been wasted.
Mark.
Pat Sheehan spoke about the money going up in smoke.
Mark.
£500 million over 20 years.
Mark.
We have to look at what money's been given to paramilitary organisations. We have to look at all these sort of things and how money could be better spent in a way that serves people.
Really?
Because politics is about people.
Right. Now, so this is...
Nowhere more so than in health.
Okay. So this is part of your message to people who are deciding whether to vote for you and your party at the moment. So the SDLP policy on trying to find £300 million next year just for the health service to stand still is what?
Well, Stephen, what I've said is that we have to look at what money is in the department. We haven't.
No, this is 300 million of extra money they need to stand still.
What money is across the other departments? I mean,
what do you mean have a look at what money's across other departments?
Exponentially, year on year, and that's why the system needs changed.
Have you any? Have you any specific?
6% every year.
It's 6%, not 5%. Round about 6%.
I said 6%.
Okay, my fault. Where would you get the money from? Which particular departments do you have you identified as where there may be money that could come out of it? Or have you any big thinking as where we could find these hundreds of millions of pounds?
Well, we've already identified right across, waste right across the departments.
Have you?
There is still fat in the system. Yes, we have done.
SLP,
and we'll be releasing
yeah.
the manifesto next week. And you'll have a member of our party, possibly myself on, Stephen, who will identify where we believe savings can be made
okay.
and where money can be reallocated.
All right, well, that's a heads
just
up.
A wee trailer for that, so we look forward to that.
I look forward to it too. So you've identified £300 million of fat in the system.
Stephen, what I would say, and I'll go back to this, and I'm not going to dodge that question because I have said we will come on and address this issue when you're doing the manifesto interview with the party.
Okay.
We will do that.
Okay.
And I'm not going to preempt that. But what I will say, you said this is our pitch to the people listening. People listening are wondering how this is going to affect them, how the publication of this plan from the minister is going to affect or impact upon them. And I think, like me, they will be underwhelmed. People have been waiting, in many cases, over 2 years for simple routine procedures that, if carried out, will have dramatic life-improving consequences for them.
You're telling us what's wrong and not how you would solve it.
People are getting into debt.
Yes.
People are actually paying currently.
Yes. And they may be looking to your party to see if you have a solution to this.
In private healthcare facilities.
In the last 10...
Because they've been told they'll have to wait so long.
In all of the time that you were in the executive, how many times did you take the health brief?
Well, I've already said, Stephen, and you're well aware, we have never...
Never.
No,
why would that be? Why didn't you want it?
Well, we didn't get it. I'm not.
Did you ever ask for it?
After this election, we'd go under the executive that we won't take it.
Would you like it?
It's a hugely difficult.
So would the SDLP undertake it?
That's why we've been, I have to say, supportive of health ministers, both current. And
when you
and
were in the when
to
you were in
the system.
Okay, here this question kind of nails it. When you were in the executive, given health is so important to you, Mark, did your party ever ask for that ministerial position?
I don't believe that we did.
Why not?
I'm not exactly sure that we didn't, but we didn't get it. It's something that's a huge.
But you hardly get it if you didn't ask for it.
Public representatives and politicians, I think we thrive on challenges and should rise to challenges.
I'm minded to go on the Google here and see if there's anything anywhere where you ever asked for it. You see, it's really easy for you to come on to criticise, but you had an opportunity over many years to ask for the health service brief. Did your party ever ask for it?
I don't believe that we have asked for it, Stephen.
Isn't that revealing?
That we won't ask for it or won't take it in the future.
Really? Would you want it after the next election? Are you going back into the executive?
Well, that will be up to the electorate, won't it? I mean, we're not running this election to go in the opposition. We're running this election to go in the government. What's become patently obvious, and nowhere is it more glaringly obvious than the failings in our health service and the failure of people by our health service,
okay.
The government here isn't working and hasn't been working. So it's up to people to change that government, and that's what we are offering them the chance to do.
Mark, thank you. Paula Bradshaw from the Alliance Party. Good morning to you, Paula.
Good morning.
Have you a solution to where we're at with the health service? Because it is clear as we go into a period of political instability that people will be sitting on waiting lists, new people will be added to this list of people who are waiting over a year. It's only the old list of people. In other words, the people who were waiting a year up until September, I believe, who will be treated if we get this 31 million. But more new people are becoming year-long waiters. What are we going to do with these people?
Okay, well, whenever the plan was first announced there yesterday and whenever it led from the Delivering Together strategy, we haven't criticised any part of that. We think that Professor Bengoa and the expert panel who advised the minister were spot on in terms of what is needed to be done to deliver. Going back to your point there about finding 300 million, it's impossible to find that year on year, and that's why this transformation process is needed. But let me take you back even further than that, Stephen. In May, June last year, when the Alliance Party was approached by the then First and Deputy First Ministers to take on the Justice Ministry, we had five red lines, and one of them was transformation of the institutions and ending the cost of segregation in our society. It costs £800 million a year to run our divided society. What we did when we were in the executive, you will remember, Stephen Farry, for example, tried to reduce some of the cost of division by consolidating teacher training. He was blocked. And this was what the reason why we could not go back into the executive last year was because we were not going to be supported. It's very categorical from the First Minister at that time, Arlene Foster, that they would not support our endeavours to reduce the cost of division. So we would not be in this mess today if they had have listened to us then. And we would not be going into an election with all those people sitting on the waiting list, still waiting.
Well, yes, you would. Sorry, you think that would have completely solved the waiting list issue? No, it wouldn't have.
Well, let me take you back as well.
How do you add that up?
Well, because we would have had things in place. We have not got a budget from the finance minister, don't forget. We should have had our budget months ago. Within the statement that the health minister made in the House in October, she said that she had a commitment from the finance minister that she would get this extra investment to start delivering on this transformation. We didn't get the budget, and obviously consequential to that is that we didn't see this extra investment coming forward. Last year, I have them in front of me now, last year Simon Hamilton, just before the last election, he made a series of announcements of extra money for transformation fund, for waiting lists, for a new autism strategy, for mental health services, for primary care-led transformation. None of it happened. And that's why I'm very sceptical now going into this election period that the minister... this is all pie in the sky.
Well, let's let the DP's Paula Bradley respond to that. Paula.
I think it's dreadful that we're in the situation that we are in. I think that the finance minister should have had a budget in place before now. And I think the extra investment into waiting times should have been put in place long before now as well. As far as I can see, there has been little or no money has been put into waiting times since the minister took over, which is sad because the minister did have the full support of all the political parties around the table in wanting to see health transformation take place. And I still want to see health transformation take place, and I still want to be supportive.
So hold on a second. Is your party ready then, now, as we stand today, are you saying that you concur with Michelle O'Neill and that you will agree to this £31 million that she's talking about for the short-term one-year waiters for outpatients? Is that money guaranteed or not?
That money certainly isn't guaranteed, Stephen. No, we can't guarantee that. We're in the middle of an election.
Why wouldn't you support that, though? Why wouldn't you put political differences aside and say, yeah, we'll support it?
Yep, I support anything that is going to go to addressing our waiting list. But that all is part of the discussions that will take place between whenever an executive is formed.
So you couldn't publicly say today that you will all find a way of supporting Michelle O'Neill in this £31 million objective? I know it's only one objective, but that £31 million to go to those people in this country waiting more than a year.
I can publicly say today that whoever the health minister is, we will be supporting them to find the money to address the waiting list.
Right. So this £31 million you support?
I support any money that is going to address the waiting list.
So is that money definitely available? You just said no to that. How not?
I don't know if it's definitely available or not. Michelle O'Neill says she has spoken with the health, with the finance minister, and he has said that he can find the money for her. That has not been, as far as I'm aware, that has not been discussed amongst the other executive ministers. I don't know. I don't know if that has been discussed in full. I don't know where he's finding that money from. I hope that he does have the money. That would be great news for all of those people on waiting list.
What's going to happen over the next few months when the health service needs certainty, needs a budget, needs another £300 million to stand still while your party and other parties are arguing? What's going to happen to people in this country?
I think that we have to remain positive for the health service. I think that we have to make it a priority. I think that decisions will have to be made in order to sustain the health service. I think that the reforms need to continue and it needs to take place. And that's why we want to be back there. We want to be back working in Stormont. We want to be back making those decisions. And we want to be back helping the people of Northern Ireland.
Do you really think it's conducive to getting back into government if your leader is publicly saying never to things like an Irish Language Act before you sit down and discuss it?
I think Sinn Féin have put down a list of demands that they want before they will go back into government, and then they throw out, the health minister throws out her waiting list plan in the middle of all of this, in the middle of election campaign.
Well, she promised, it was promised, to be fair to her, by the end of January.
It was promised, and I agree with that, and I'm glad it's here, and I've said it, I said it publicly yesterday as well. I welcome the plan. I welcome any plan that addresses our
It's only a plan that can be implemented with money.
Absolutely. At the minute, it's purely aspirational, and it's nothing more than that.
Will your party endeavour to get back into government as soon as possible after an election, if indeed the vote allows you to?
Absolutely. I think we have said that. We have said it since the beginning of this election campaign. We want to be back there delivering for the people of Northern Ireland. And I personally want to be back there delivering for people when it comes to health issues.
OK, Paula Bradshaw, Paula Bradley, thank you. Paula Bradshaw, thank you very much indeed.